Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
It was really the start, I thought, of both halves where we weren't sharp. And, you know, we got to come out with more grit, more fire. We were missing assignments. We just had random switches going on out there. And our weak side wasn't pulled in on a couple of those pick and rolls.
This year, I think it was a lot of just, you know, everybody, well, I mean, for me standpoint, you know, just really not going into the season, into the spring and everything with no ego at all, just wanting to really just get this thing on the right track so we can get the ball rolling and have a good year.
I want more wins, so I think this is my year, this all year, and for sure I go take more wins. So, and I'd be ready. So get ready every 5 days, get a really good chance to win games. I know that the hitters make the best for us. This is my year.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard the voices there of Fred Hoiberg and, of course, Allen Robinson, the new Bears wide receiver. And that last voice, the boys did some digging. They did some work, and they got the quote, the what we like to call the Mike Glennon quote, yeah, from Jose Quintana.
Jose Quintana is the Mike Glennon of baseball.
Jose Quintana talking about the season in front of him.
And this is my year.
This is my year.
Don't do that to him.
That is so mean.
Don't put Mike Glennon stink on him.
Here's the thing. Mike Glennon, he's never done it.
Right.
He really hadn't had any kind of year. And it was after they drafted the quarterback that Mike Glennon was clarifying that, oh, I've been told it's my year. This is my year. Because he had the big contract and nothing else. And then he, of course, failed immediately. Jose Quintana has already been on the Cubs, has already done good work, you heard Theo say that they wouldn't have made it to the playoffs without him.
You couldn't. I mean, look.
Come on.
Mike Glennon. No one pointed to Mike Glennon's resume and said, boy, you know, but for that, whatever the football equation of run support is, you know, Jose Quintana, the numbers where they scored three or fewer runs in his starts, I mean, the two runs,
it's
one
ridiculous.
Run. It was ridiculous on the south side.
And don't look at him. He gives me the whole, like, what? Like, what? Me
well,
worry?
Wait, you said he didn't say that.
That's what he said. You are the one that linked that together in your mind. And now we got to hear those drops
together. Did he say it or not?
This is my year.
Yes, it's his year. It's
you turned him into Mike Glennon.
No,
in your
I didn't.
You are an anti-Quintana guy. And you know what's interesting about it?
I was
Dustin?
A Glennon guy.
Well, Brian's still a big Glennon guy.
Do you think this is a quarterback battle now?
No.
Can I finish my thought, please, Dustin? You don't like Jose Quintana, but the fact of the matter is, and Brian, you're worried about what Eloy Jimenez is going to do or what Dylan Cease is going to do. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't go out and make that deal and get yourself Jose Quintana, who is under control through 2020, making $8 million plus. If you don't make that move, guess what? You don't get Yu Darvish.
No doubt.
So you got getting that deal done let you go get Yu Darvish. Now, what's really ironic about it is that Dustin doesn't like either guy.
Yeah, he's consistent that way.
But I think we have to take that into account when we start measuring reaction to things.
Yeah, and to, you know, put this in context, Jose Quintana was being asked about the offense of the Cubs compared to what he was dealing with on the Sox. And he didn't bring it up. He wasn't demeaning the Sox. He said, when you look at this lineup, I expect that they're going to do their job and that will allow me to do my job and I'll go deeper into games and the wins will come. And I know it's an old statistic, but Jose Quintana, it's still important for him to have
run support.
Right. No, W's. He wants to have as many wins as
W's.
Possible. Yeah,
yes,
instead of the old ND, the no decision he got time and again because he was coming out of the game in the fifth inning and it was 1-0 or 2-1.
I want more wins, so I think this is my year.
play the whole cut. See, this is the thing. He says this is our year.
I want more wins, so I think this is my year, this our year, and for sure I go take more wins. So and I'd be ready. So get ready every 5 days. Get a really good chance to win games. And I know that the heroes make the best for us.
This year is my year.
They're not related in any fashion other than in Dustin's mind.
Z is running the board there. He's a little Sox.
What are you talking about? Uh-huh. I love Jose Quintana.
But you did cut off that cut in order to appease your guy,
It's not
Dustin.
Like we're making up things that he said.
But
the words
listen
came out
to
of his
what
mouth,
he
and
said.
Then he said. First he said it was his year, then he said it's our year.
Right.
He didn't say it's our year, and then he said it's his year.
Oh my God.
It's my year.
Split hairs. Yeah,
I want you to answer questions in Spanish right now, Dustin. We'll find out what you actually said. I mean, give me a break.
Jose Quintana, selfish guy. I mean,
exactly.
Of all the guys, you would look at and say he's a me guy, I don't, Jose Quintana, are you giving me, come on.
And Brian, for you, this is my gift to you. When you worry about what Eloy Jimenez is doing, when you worry about if Dylan Cease is going to be better than Quintana, when you start measuring.
I never said that.
I just want you, when you're measuring that deal in your own mind and you're getting yourself upset, I want you to think of not just Quintana, but also you, Darvish, because Quintana got you, Darvish.
Absolutely.
So is Eloy going to be better than you, Darvish?
Not only that.
Is Eloy going to be better than those two guys?
You replaced, Quintana replaced Jake Arrieta, and the money that you got with the controllable contract with Quintana immediately went into the you, Darvish fund or whatever it was going to be. I mean, you got two for one. That's right.
I am healing you from that concern.
That's right. I don't want you doing my taxes.
Look at me.
Look that could get me in trouble.
But I'm going to take a moment and appreciate how I'm reaching out and helping a Brian Hanley get through what's going to be a Hall of Fame
Mike
career
Mulligan,
for
humanitarian.
For Eloy. And Dustin, I am here for you. If you want to get mad at the White Sox, here's two for one. Here's Quintana, who has White Sox stink, and your guy, Yu Darvish. Blame the Sox trade on Yu Darvish, who you don't like, because he once said he didn't want to come to the Cubs or had it written into his contract. Whatever the deal is, I feel like I'm walking around healing people.
You are.
What a service, Mulligan, performing this morning.
6'11", and you've
good
already.
Good God.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager from Fox says that Chase Daniels is coming to the Bears to be their backup quarterback. Joe, I don't know. Does that mean
this is bad. This is bad for Kevbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sanchez can still come back as the number three. Get him in the quarterback room.
No. He's number two, buddy.
This is his year.
I think don't you have to pick up some, when you make the trade down, don't you get a seventh round pick and grab a quarterback somewhere?
Yes.
Don't you get a young guy?
If Ryan Pace is true to his word.
No, I'm just saying. Chase Daniels is now your backup. You can clean out that quarterback room.
It was a great room last year, they said.
Yeah, of course it was. You don't need any babysitters. You don't need any handholders. There's no Jack Haley to Dennis Rodman anymore. It's a nice thing, right? I mean, it's a nice thing. Now, maybe this is bad news for a certain quarterback's coach. Maybe Sanchez now actually takes on the job
as a coach,
of quarterback's coach.
Hangs no more player or pseudo player.
And maybe Rags has to go because it's time to move into the.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Chase Daniel was in New Orleans 2010 to 2012.
Knows Ryan Pace.
Was Daniel getting Pace's coffee?
Has Chase Daniels been in that scheme? Has he been in that system? Was he in Kansas City at some point?
Yes, he was, 13 to 15.
There you go. That's the connection. So he knows, what the offense is and can help teach it with the quarterback, with the coach to the young quarterback. So it's a win, 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 win. It's what I like to call a triple win, because you not only get Chase Daniels, you get assist for the quarterback, and you don't have to worry about the Sanchez hand-holding. Win, win, win. I think we'll find another win when we come back. We're going to bring in our prediction machine guy, and we'll go through the predict-a-late, and we'll find out what the tournament victories will be. What's great about this is it's a really good opportunity to make an investment or two. They do a really good job with the tournament, so I'm looking forward to this. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Paul Besier joins us right now. Paul, of course, the general manager of PredictionMachine.com, the Predictilator, runs every game 50,000 times and comes up with an investment strategy. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. How you guys doing?
You know, it's that time of year, buddy. I mean, this is outside of the Super Bowl, this is one of the, and maybe even ahead of the Super Bowl. I mean, is it one of the glorious weekends in Vegas? And my partner here is heading out tomorrow, and it's going to be a great joy to see the NCAA tournament unfold. And it just seems like a world of possibility as you begin this thing.
You've been busy this week, Paul?
Yeah, definitely busy.
So when you look at this stuff, do you go through and look at video or just take your power rankings and look at the seeds and see what jumps off the page and says that doesn't look right, or the committee, you know, undervalue or overvalued this team, and so we'll start from that?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. So all I'm using is ignoring seeds and simulating the game 50,000 times using the actual teams and the players and the 10 guys that we anticipate are going to be on the court at any given time. Simulation is the best way to look at this single elimination tournament and try to assess just how likely any team is to make it to any level. What ultimately happened, though, was the seeds are pretty good. It might be the best job the committee's ever done with seeding with respect to getting the best teams in the best spots. It doesn't mean that the actual 68-team bracket's perfect, because teams like Notre Dame and St. Mary's ended up in our top 25 overall but didn't make it into the tournament. But the seeding for the teams in the tournament is very good, to the point that we only have Texas over Nevada, Alabama over Virginia Tech.
Uh-oh. We seem to have lost Paul.
He was just giving us,
and it was at a crucial moment. We will reconnect with him.
We're about to get a three-team parlay.
I was feeling it coming, and unfortunately, it didn't happen. So we'll reconnect with Paul, and apparently, we can do so now. Paul,
hey guys,
we lost you right as you started.
Texas, and did you have Alabama?
Texas, Alabama, and Butler are the only outright predicted upsets by seed. Now, there's some very close games where there's also some opportunities for upsets, including Loyola over Illinois, obviously, but Loyola over Miami and Oklahoma over Rhode Island are basically 50-50 games in our numbers as well, if you're looking for other upsets.
Can you repeat that for Molly, the alum from Loyola?
Loyola.
I just wants to hear that one more time.
Yeah, so Loyola over Miami. And in fact, it's 50.1% right now in the simulations that we post on the site. So as close a game as you're going to be able to get. But that is an opportunity for an upset there, especially Bruce Brown from Miami banged up and hurt. Loyola, a team that ended the season in the top 40 in our overall power rankings.
Okay, I'm going to get a little emotional.
He's going to need a moment. Every 33 years he experiences
this. Every 33 years I have a breakdown. Yeah. And what was the other one? I lost you said Loyola, yeah. I lost you. You said Texas, Alabama, Butler, Loyola over Miami, and you said another one, but I heard was wah, wah, wah.
All good. No, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. In fact, it's more likely all 4-10s win than all 4-7s win.
And wow.
If you're looking for opportunities for upsets, it's really, I mentioned 3-10s already. It's more so likely that all 4-10s win even than either all 4-8s or 9s win. That's how strong that one specific seed happens to be in this year's tournament.
Yeah, everyone has, you know, at one point I had all number one seeds in my Final Four, and then I start scratching out again, and, you know, always go with your gut and your first impression, but next thing I know, I'm saying, no, Duke and, you know, Kansas is probably more of a 3 seed. Ken Pom numbers, your head starts spinning. When the more you read and try to educate yourself on this stuff, the deeper you dig into the hole and I'm not sure what you're doing. Your Final Four, is it chalk based as it has been in recent years?
It's mostly chalk. It's 2-2s and 2-1s. Virginia, Villanova, Duke, and North Carolina is the Final Four. And as much as I loved the depth and the coaching and the SEC and the Big 12 this year, it ultimately ended up being that the ACC has got 3 teams that are most likely Final Four. And actually, in the top 7 most likely teams to win the championship, there's 3 ACC teams, 1 Big East. We talked about Villanova. And ultimately, 3 Big Ten teams are the next teams, Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan, in that order. So you can see the top of those specific conferences happens to be incredibly strong this year. I think the rest of the league in the country actually is relatively weak and fairly interchangeable. But with those teams specifically, there was a major change between about 12 hours ago and now, and that is that DeAndre Hunter, the sixth man of the year for the SEC for Virginia, is now out for the entire tournament. Well, Virginia was our most likely champion. Virginia is still in our most likely Final Four, but Arizona's odds increased significantly. Cincinnati's odds increased significantly, and Virginia is no longer our most likely champion. In fact, Duke would be favored over both Villanova and Virginia in that projected Final Four that we just talked about. A little bit of a shakeup here in the numbers. It's still Duke, Villanova, and Virginia is the most likely champions for us, and the only teams that have greater than a 10% chance to do so. But it's new in terms of the numbers and the analysis right now that Virginia falls out of that top spot.
Yeah, I saw where you're trying to figure out the 12-5 is the traditional upset, and you gave us a few of the upsets. But when it actually comes to point spreads, and some of these are double digits, and I saw where Kansas is favored by 14 in the opening game. I think the New York Times said that that is the fewest number of points for that number one seed.
Sure.
How do you weigh value when it comes to that? How does the computer weigh it?
Yeah, let's break that down a little bit. So, first of all, in that game, we have Kansas winning by exactly 15, but that is a very important note to make, and that is that Penn has a 5% chance to win that game, which is the highest percent we've had in the last 5 years for any 16 to beat a 1, and there's overall for the entire tournament about a 10% chance that the 16 beats a 1 this year, again, that being the most likely game that occurs. I think the committee just put Ivy League as a 16 seed, didn't really care which one it was, and ultimately Penn was better than the seed that they got when that game ended up on Sunday. But in terms of point spreads, basically there's two opportunities. One is figure out who should win in a game that Vegas doesn't really know, and in those examples are Alabama +2 against Virginia Tech. We like Alabama to win outright. We talked about Loyola, which is a 2-point underdog, as a potential winner there. Creighton is a -1 right now. We like to win outright. And Mizzou, it actually has been fluctuating between -1 and +1 that we like to win as well. So those are all games, Alabama, Loyola, Creighton, and Mizzou, where we like one of the teams to win at least 60% of the time straight up, when the point spread would suggest it's even closer than that. Usually the other opportunities for value, because the public plays such a big role in these lines, is when the lines get pretty big. And I don't mean like 20-plus points, but when they're 8 to 10 points, and some examples of that. South Dakota State against Ohio State is a +8 right now, where we see value. Buffalo, Montana, Buffalo against Arizona, Montana against Michigan, there's some other opportunities there as well.
So is there any part of the bracket that seems to be the best part to bet? I mean, we always look at who has the easiest run. Is there an easiest kind of betting bracket?
So a good point. So if you're looking for chaos to potentially reign, at least in the first round, the Midwest is that. Because the Midwest has three good teams and nobody else really distinguishes themselves otherwise. So to be specific about that, Kansas is likely to win, Duke is likely to win, Michigan State's likely to win. There is a 94% chance that two of those teams play in the Elite Eight. That's insane to think that the teams that one region is that top-heavy. But what that also means is that anybody else can win in the other games that are played. So if you're looking for a 12 over a 5, a 13 over a 4, both in terms of the opportunity from a betting perspective and just in terms of the opportunity for potential wins or upsets, you're looking at both Auburn and Clemson being incredibly weak and overseeded, so then ultimately overrated relative to what we're seeing in the tournament right now. So I think that's where you'll see chaos. If you're looking for opportunity right there, that should occur. The same can be said for the West, just not for this round. By the time we talk or look at this next week, the West is the region that I think could be flipped upside down at the top, because we don't even have Xavier making it to the Elite Eight. And several of the teams in the the 4-6 range are very strong right there.
Great stuff. Paul, thank you, buddy. We really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
That's our guy, Paul Basir.
That help you, Joe?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little confirmation, too. He likes a lot of the bigger dogs that I am looking at, too. Montana going against Michigan. Everybody's riding high on Michigan. Then they had the long layoff there. It's going to be a lot of, tomorrow. It all starts.
Joe, I'm dying to find out what the long layoff means.
I mean, even for Loyola, by the way.
Well, of course. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, I'm really anxious to find out if you can have too much time off. By the way, the Missouri Valley is 8-0 in the first round over the last 8 years. Four of those were road or under seeds, and four of them were above, right?
If they were 0-8, would you bring that up?
No. No. I'm only bringing it up because we're talking about it, and yeah.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Celebrate.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, can I just tell you that Biggs is going to come on next and explain everything to us?
Nice.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to this program, and a valued and appreciated and beloved figure. A friend, if you will. Biggsy, latest news, breaking news, that Chase Daniels, I believe a man that took... Chase Daniel, if I'm not mistaken, studied at the Brad Biggs Football School at the University of Missouri. He was in your program at some point. He now comes to the Chicago Bears as a backup, according to some reports. Obviously, a guy familiar with the offense and can get in that quarterback room and help the young quarterback. It's all about the quarterback, Brad. I don't know if you've heard, but Bears making some big moves and even some small ones that can help as you look at this team moving forward.
Well, they didn't get the wide receiver that knows the offense in Kansas City, Albert Wilson, as he goes to the Dolphins, but they add a quarterback who has spent time with the Chiefs and worked with Matt Nagy and will have an understanding of the offense, and so that makes a lot of sense from that point. Chase Daniel's a guy who has done really well for himself in the National Football League. He's made more than $24 million, and he hasn't played in 300 snaps. So that's
impressive for an undersized guy. I mean, that's been what kept him from... Yeah.
So what's that tell you? Sharp guy,
right,
that coaches value having around. And he's happened to play behind some starters who have been pretty healthy because he hasn't been called upon to go out there a whole lot, but he'll be able to help out, and not a move that surprises you at all. Chase was kind of the one who set the bar for that big pay for backup quarterbacks a couple years back when he signed a deal in Philadelphia for $7 million a year. Then after they got Carson Wentz, they determined that they probably wanted a backup that was a little bit more that matched Carson's athletic skills a little bit better. So they ended up with a guy like Nick Foles who can run around a little bit more than Chase, maybe a little bit taller, kind of the same type of guy. So Chase actually ended up back in New Orleans this past season, where the Eagles paid him, I want to say, $5 million to play for the Saints, and the Saints gave him another $1 million this past year. So he did just fine for himself working behind Drew Brees.
Speaking of athletic, you would think Trey Burton, younger, more athletic version of Zach Miller, perhaps. But when you're the third guy, you're playing behind two guys anyway in Philly, it's about projecting what he can be when he gets more opportunities. Did the Bears make a good investment there?
Well, they gave him a ton of money, so the projection is just huge when it comes to Trey Burton. And we've got to wait and see what the numbers look like when all this stuff comes out. But $32 million over 4 years is big-time money for the tight end position. It's based on projection. It's not completely unlike what they did with Martellus Bennett back in 2013 when he came over from the New York Giants. Bennett hadn't really broke out, and that deal was for just a shade over $20 million in 4 years. So it shows you how the price of doing business has gone up. But, yeah, the expectation is that Burton's ready for a much larger role, and if you take a look at the Kansas City offense, who's been the central cog in that passing game the last several years, it's been the tight end Travis Kelce.
Is Deion Sims a part of this team moving forward? Is that, you know?
I think that's a good question.
Yeah.
I think you could. I think you could probably put together a case both ways. You could say, hey, the cap space is pretty right. wide open still, and you could keep him around because you value him as a blocker, and you just want to be secure in that way. It would be putting an awful lot of money for one season anyway into the tight end position, but you're always going to have positions where, you know, there's a little bit of a spike for a year or for 2 years or that type of thing. And then I think the flip side of that is you really like Adam Shaheen, the second round pick from a year ago. You want to give him room to spread his wings. And so you count on Kevin Gilbride, the new tight ends coach, helping Shaheen improve, and you go ahead and you cut Sims loose because
you save $4 million, right? Is that it? He's got a $10 million signing bonus, but $4 million is
well. No,
was that it?
Deion's got a $6 million base salary for this season, and $4 million of that is fully guaranteed if he's on the roster Friday.
Oops, right.
So you're either in or you're out before Friday when it comes to Deion Sims. The way the contract was structured, it was an $18 million 3-year deal. The payouts were structured evenly, so he actually collected $6 million in cash last year. He's due to get $6 million again this year, and then is on the books for $6 million in 2019. So they'll have to make a call on that in the next 36 hours or so.
Wow.
When Prince Amukamura got to town, you were talking to him, you wrote a story about, and he told you, yeah, the interceptions aren't there, the picks aren't there, but I was close on this, I was close on that. But he realized that that's what gets you paid. The picks weren't there again last year, but he did get more of a commitment from the Bears. Was that the right move moving forward?
I think there were a lot of options on the market, and you saw a handful of them come off the board yesterday. There were announcements around the league that guys had reached agreements elsewhere. And you know, I look at that as a situation where is there a guy that played elsewhere that you might like? You like some of his traits. There's questions you have. You might have interest in him. Well, you could go out and you could sign that guy for about the same kind of money and think you know what you're getting, not be completely sure. Or you go out and you pay the guy that you know what you're getting, you know what his strengths are, you know maybe areas that when possible you want to give him a little help, and you know how he fits in your locker room. So I think that move made sense for the Bears. They weren't going to go out and add a player that was going to cost them more money than Kyle Fuller. They weren't going to sign Tremaine Johnson in free agency and then have just an enormous amount of cash and cap space tied up in the cornerback position. So they bring back Prince, and again, we'll have to wait and see how the money actually flows in these contracts and what the totals are. But you can't rule out the possibility of them using one of their higher picks in the draft on a cornerback to fortify that position a little bit. They were seventh in the NFL against the pass last year, guys, and I spent some time looking at it the other day. I didn't realize until I finished going through game by game, they allowed only one 100-yard game to an opposing wide receiver last year. Now, there was a tight end or two that topped 100 yards. The Falcons pulled that off with there in the opener. But in terms of wide receivers, Antonio Brown of the Steelers was the only one the Bears faced to go over 100 yards against that secondary.
It's interesting because you covered it very well, Brad. Playmakers, right? That's what you have to have, and that's what they ended up with, right? Allen Robinson is a playmaker. He's a guy that scored touchdowns in this league. Certainly, you got a tight end that can now, you got a slot guy, another guy that fits kind of the way they were getting it done in Kansas City. So you've got people that you can get the ball to. You've surrounded the quarterback with some weapons, and weaponry is everything in the modern NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, that was their number one priority going into free agency here, especially knowing that the draft is thin on wide receivers, at least ones that you'd want to consider in the first round. I mean, they had to be aggressive in free agency once again, and the hope is that come 1 March here soon, you know, they'll be able to be real picky and choosy about what they want to do in terms of free agency. But the roster is such, and their track record drafting is such, that they needed to make moves, especially when you consider that they've got a new scheme going in on the offensive side of the ball, and they need to find players that they deem to be fits for that scheme.
All righty, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. Great work as always. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care,
that
Brad.
Is our guy, Brad Biggs. It's always fun to talk to him, and I don't know if we've mentioned it yet or not, but we have a major score programming announcement at 8 a.m. this morning. There is a lot of information that we are going to be giving to you about the future of our station and stuff that you're going to need to know. You want to be here, and we'll explain it to you, and we'll talk to principals and all the rest of it. Molly and Hanley, I know you've been saying it all
morning. Facebook Live at 7 a.m. We'll broadcast stream the last 2 hours of the show, so get to Facebook Live.
Boy, I wish they told me that before I got dressed. No, I'm just kidding. Molly and Hanley,
the Chicago. Evening gown looks nice.
Thank you, buddy. Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.